Hey, it's Elise.
Hey, y'all, it's Kaylin.
This is episode 6, season 2 of Love Her, Leave Her Wild. Yeehaw!
I hate you.
Well, one of us had to do it.
I thought we were doing the woohoo.
No, we're changing it now. Season 2, we need a new one. I'm going to try something different every time.
Okay.
Okay, so this episode comes with a trigger warning. So we will be talking about postpartum depression, postpartum psychosis, infertility, miscarriages, the lot. So you might want to move on from this episode if it's too tough for you to listen to. So let's talk about the big stuff. Kaylin.
Go ahead, girl.
Okay. Well,
the one thing we all have in common probably
is what?
Postpartum depression.
I had postpartum depression. It was undiagnosed because, my doctor went, okay. So I've told my birth story before. I'm not sure if I told it on the podcast. I'll just briefly try to go through it. I was feeling dizzy and I had a headache when I went to work that day. I was 39 weeks. I just so happened to have my weekly check with my OB later that day. So I went in and I told her, I said, I feel better though. And she said, well, you've had a really great pregnancy thus far. And, you know, I think you should go and get a stress test at the hospital. And she checked me and I actually started to have like contractions after she checked me, but not close together, just a little bit where, you know, how sometimes the doctor mm-hmm. checks you when you're that late in your pregnancy and it kind of starts it. So I go in there and I, you know, get hooked up on everything. They do an ultrasound and they actually have to use the little zapper thing to wake her up because she was sleeping. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so, mind you, I had gotten an ultrasound 2 weeks prior because my doctor just wanted to make sure she wasn't breech.
Right.
So, and everything looked okay. Everything looked fine. And so she's doing the ultrasound and I'm not worried about it at all because like I said, I've had a really great pregnancy thus far. And, so then I go back up after the ultrasound and, you know, her father's with me and we're waiting and waiting. And then it was like a long time. And I was like, I think something's wrong. And he's like, no, nothing's wrong. I'm like, nee, I think it is. So finally a nurse comes in and she starts like hooking me up to stuff. And I said, okay, what is going on? Nobody has told us anything. And she said, well, the doctor has to talk to you, but I can tell you you're being admitted. And I was like, okay, you know, okay. So, and so finally the doctor came in and was like, so this was not my doctor. My doctor just so happened to be out of town. And of course I felt like it was one of those movies where it's like, where's my doctor? They're out of town. Of course she was out of town that weekend. So it was a different doctor and she came in and she said, okay. So I looked at the ultrasound and your baby has fluid in her lungs and her stomach, her left lung and her stomach. And I didn't know that was very bad at all. Okay. And she made it seem like it wasn't that bad. She's like, an ultrasound could be wrong. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, but she was like real, real like nonchalant about it. So then I was nonchalant. I was also on an epidural already. Right. So I was just like, yeah, mm-hmm. It's fine. And so, she's like, we are going to induce you. You're already 39 weeks. So you're full term. And I said, okay. And she said, we're going to start Pitocin. And I was like, okay. So anyway, I start Pitocin and all of a sudden the nurse comes in after a while and is like, can you turn on your left side? And I was like, sure. And then a little while later, she comes in. She's like, can you turn on your right side? I said, okay, sure. And so they come in. They're like, the baby's heart rate is slowing down. So we're going to see if it's the Pitocin. So they stop the Pitocin. And then they see if her heart rate comes back up, which it does. So then they start the Pitocin again. And then it goes back down. And then the doctor came in and was like, we're just going to do an emergency C-section. And I was like, oh. And my doctor and I had never, we never discussed a birth plan because birth plans don't ever work out anyway. So, but she had never talked to me about what a C-section would feel like or anything about it. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, like a team of people, oh, they tell me the neonatologist is going to be there too. And a NICU team. Mm-hmm. And just in case, and that I could talk to the neonatologist beforehand. But then I asked to talk to him and he just was like, no, I'm not going to talk to her. And so there's this whole NICU team in there with a neonatologist. And so this whole just nurses and everything, everybody comes in, they go to collect all my things. They're shaving me. They're like putting my hair up in the cap, whatever. And I'm on an epidural. So I'm just kind of like loopy, but kind of like, okay. I don't know what's going on. Everything's going so fast. So then, they wheel me down. This is not a short story and I'm sorry. They wheel me down and her father disappears. So I'm all alone. And I was just like, where is he? I'm starting to freak out that there's something wrong with my baby. And, so they start cutting me open, and because I didn't know what C-section felt like, I didn't realize that you could feel it. Okay. So you can feel it. So if you're a new mom out there or a mom that's pregnant, a new mom that's pregnant, you can feel it when they're tugging you, your whole body is rocking as they're tugging your guts. Right. So they do all that. She yells at me for
disclaimer. Elise never saw a C-section.
No, never
before this. So don't listen to her.
What you mean? When you were like tugging.
When you were like, you remember that one episode where you were like, they pulled all my guts out.
They basically did pull out my guts, fucker. They move them all around. It feels like they're moving your guts out. Jesus. And you know what? I'm helping other moms out there because I feel like if you're ready for it, it's not as scary. I was not ready for it. I was like, I could feel everything.
It makes me so sad. Like that they don't like, and I noticed that with my OB too. And I just assumed that it was because he knew that I worked. I was one of the NICU people in the OR with you. Okay. And he knew that. So I just assumed that maybe he didn't give me like any education, like any resources to like say, hey, look up one on YouTube or whatever. Nothing. I was like, maybe it's just because he knows, like I already know or whatever. Oh. Yeah. And I was hoping that that's what it was. But then afterwards, I hear more people talk about it and it seems to be a trend.
Yeah, it's scary. It really is scary. So, you know, they're tugging. She's yelling at me saying she's going to have to put me to sleep. I'm not going to be able to see my baby. And I was like, okay, no, it's fine. And I was just, the tears were just streaming up the sides of my eyes. But the anesthesiologist, and I had two, were amazing. So amazing and sweet and talking to me. Her dad was not saying anything, but that's not a shocker because he doesn't talk. Mm-hmm. So, but thank God those men were there. So they pull Felicity out of me and she cries and I started crying because it was the most beautiful sound in the whole world. And, then the neonatologist was like, she has characteristics of Down syndrome.
Just like that.
Yeah. And I go, what? Wait, what did he say? I couldn't believe that that's what I had heard, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and nobody answered me at first. And I was looking up at the anesthesiologist and he was like, you know, he said that the baby does have some characteristics of Down syndrome, but you know, we don't know anything now. He was trying to call me. Mm-hmm. And that was when they gave me a bunch more painkillers. Mm-hmm. Because now that they had the baby out of there, they could give me the good stuff. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like floating. I didn't get to see Felicity at all. they took her out of me and rushed her over to the incubator. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isolate. And, I didn't get to see her. And yeah, so that was the story of my birth.
Traumatic.
Super traumatic. She was in the NICU then and still to this day. And I've been in the NICU since then because I was the new parent contact mm-hmm. for our local Down Syndrome Association. And I've been up into the NICU a few times to meet with the new families, and the beep, beep, mm-hmm. beep. It still gives me like chills. Mm-hmm. It was so hard.
Right.
The diagnosis was traumatic. Then she needed a platelet transfusion and she was on oxygen for quite some time. And I think that whole thing was traumatic. And then the diagnosis on top of it. So finally we get her out of the NICU. I'll save all of that situation. And then I go to my doctor for the check. You know, she gives you a check. Mm-hmm. After so many weeks. And she said, how are you doing? They asked me all the questions about postpartum and I answered them realistically. You know, I'm like, no, I'm not doing well. Yes. I'm very sad. Yes. I'm crying all the time. La, 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 la. And she looked at me and she was like, and bless her heart. I don't have an issue with her. I actually
bless
like her a lot.
Heart.
I actually like her a lot. But she just started practicing. So I was one of her first patients. But she said, well, that's to be expected because you had a surprise diagnosis.
And that's to be expected for her to say that since she just started practicing because she's clearly ignorant. So
she's ableist.
And ignorant.
She said, yeah, I mean, she basically did give me a hug and she was very sweet when she came to see me in the hospital. And she's like, can I ask you why you didn't get a test? And when you ask someone why they didn't get you a test, I feel like that's very ableist. And I'm just like, well, that wouldn't have changed anything. But the reason I didn't was that was right before I think NIPT tests mm-hmm. were mm-hmm. readily available. So it was just the quad. And the quad test had a lot of positive, false positive right. and false negatives. And I'm not going to fuck up my whole pregnancy mm-hmm. with a false whatever it is. So right. that's why I didn't do the test. And so I suffered with postpartum depression, crying every day. Without any help.
And then they tell you that it's normal to feel this way because
your child has Down syndrome.
Yeah.
But it wasn't normal. I
know
to this day, and I've had some shit happen to me since then. I have never felt as down and dark as I did those days after she was born.
I didn't even feel like the same person. Like the thing, and I thought that I was prepared for it, right? Like I did my research, like me and Marcus had like a plan. Like if I get too loose in the streets, like this is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did not anticipate it being a easy road for me, but that's because I had a horrible pregnancy, like with anxiety and everything. So I knew that it was going to be horrors once I had her, and it was, but mm-hmm. the fact that, I was reading about how, statistics show that 70-80% of women experience like the baby blues or whatever, but only 10-20% of women have reported postpartum depression.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, 10% of the fathers experience postpartum symptoms as well.
I didn't know that.
Marcus is one of them. Mm. And it was, that's how I got, like, I was really researching a lot into this because I'm like, I have OCD anyway, but the way that it took over me after I had Everly and the anxiety that I had was ridiculous. Like I could not keep my shit together. But he also had, I would say pretty significant depression following that too, because he lost his wife. I mean, and that sucks mm-hmm. because I was not the same at all. at all. But it's like, did you have, so, you know, with postpartum depression, like you can have postpartum anxiety, postpartum psychosis, postpartum OCD, like all of that is kind of intertwined together. Did you have any of that stuff, or just like the sadness and not feeling like yourself?
I think for me, it was just the sadness. I was, I felt like I was in a very, very deep hole, and I just was laying there like, it was just not me.
Just I've always like been, severely depressed.
Yes. I've always been like, okay, find the ray of sunshine, find the silver lining, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. And I couldn't do it. Yeah. I would just hold her and cry and hold her. And thankfully I didn't have any attachment problems, you mm-hmm. know? So when I was crying, I was holding her.
Right.
You know?
That's how I was with Everly. Like, she made everything okay. Like,
yes.
I would go get her. Like, I didn't care if she was sleeping in her crib. Like, I would go get her and hold her. And my mom was like that, because my mom was there like for the delivery, and she stayed with me in the hospital because Marcus was working, because Everly was preemie. So my mom was there, and whenever I could tell like she would kind of get a little worked up, or, you know, she would just kind of hurt for me, I guess. Like, she would just pick Everly up and love on her. And I'm like, she just makes everything okay. Like, it's better. I'm good as long as she's here. But when they would take her out of my room, it was a whole different
story. I felt the same exact way.
I can't imagine them taking her away from me at birth. And like, I was one for all of my career. So I've been at RT for 10 years now. For 7 of those years I was in the NICU, and part of our job was going to all of the C-sections and any high risk delivery. I never once thought about how it feels to be the mom who has to see her baby wheeled out in a warmer.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it would be hard because we would resuscitate a lot of babies and things like that. But I never once thought about like the ones that would deliver like a 34 weeker or anything like that, where they just needed CPAP or just a little bit of help. And we would tell them that. And we thought that we were doing a good job, like making them feel comfortable with letting us take them. But no, bitch, we're not. Okay. We're not. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing that you can do when your baby is being taken away from you like that. And I wasn't even attached to Everly. Like, I didn't, and I hate this so much. Like, and I really had a lot of guilt after she was born, is that I could look Marcus dead in his eyes and tell him that I didn't love her until she was born.
Well, why don't you talk a little bit about why that was?
So for me, Everly was my 5th pregnancy. So to me, instantly, as soon as I found out that I was pregnant, I just knew she was going to die. Whether it was early on or if it was later, I just knew that she wasn't making it into this world. So when I found out that I was pregnant, I was like, holy shit, I'm pregnant. And then it was like immediately afterwards, just like, holy shit, I might not be pregnant anymore. Like, we don't know. So anyway, I went and got an ultrasound done, and I was pregnant. I was like 10 weeks along, maybe. I ended up having a delayed miscarriage because Everly was a twin, which is really cool. My grandmother is an identical twin too.
Oh, wow.
So have you not read about the connection between Down syndrome and identical twins?
No.
Yeah. So, you know, because identical twins is an abnormal cell division.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Down syndrome. So you can actually have identical twins where one has 45 chromosomes and one has 47.
Oh,
I know. It's so cool. So Everly was like, listen, because I kept telling Marcus, I was like, look, I can't do this. Like, we can't have a baby right now. It's going to ruin our marriage. It's going to ruin everything. I can't do this. And he was like, no, it'll be fine. He's lying. The whole time I knew he was lying, because it's not fine. So, we ended up, so I was like, I told him, I was like, I'm not like up until 14 weeks. I was like, I can't do this. Like I can't do this. I really can't do this. And he was like, you can't go to the clinic. That was like his joke. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, but like, I really just can't do this. And so his whole thing was like that Everly like hijacked her her sibling's chromosome and was like, you got to go. So anyway, well, I ended up in a lot of pain, like could not stand up. We were worried that I had like a molar pregnancy where one of them was my beta HCG was like quadruple what it was supposed to be. I got it drawn while we were at work and the lab called me and was like, hey, so we're recalibrating our machine because your labs are not running. Do you have multiple, like, are you pregnant with twins or, you know, what's going on? And I was like, I hope to God not. Well, I was. So it was like just delayed miscarriage was what it was. Mm. So the baby was never really, like, the fetus was never really formed or whatever. But we were worried that it was in my tubes or something because my beta HCG was so high. So, well, then that means I'm going to lose all of my parts possibly. So I checked into the emergency room. He was a doctor that night and sent me over to ultrasound where she confirmed that I was pregnant. And I was like, and this is one of my friends to this day. And she was sitting there and she was like, oh my gosh, she's so cute. He's so cute. Like she just kept going on and on. And I'm like, I don't think I said a word. And I was like, okay. Okay. And like, I didn't say anything. So I came back across the thing and told Marcus, I was like, well, I'm pregnant and there's a heartbeat and everything looks good, but I need to follow up with, you know, OB, obviously. I didn't go to OB. This was at 10 weeks. I couldn't get a positive pregnancy test until I was 8 weeks pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I was peeing on a stick like every week from like 3 weeks on.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, I couldn't get a positive pregnancy test. Well, when they told me to go to OB, I was like, well, I'm going to wait. My last miscarriage was at 16 weeks. And I was like, so I'm going to wait because there's nothing that they can do at this point anyway. Mm-hmm. So I waited. I did tell my mom that I was pregnant and she was so excited because, my sister had just had her baby, in April. So she was so excited because she's going to have two grandbabies and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, but can you please not say anything? Because I just don't really want to go through this again. But my mom didn't know that I had several miscarriages or anything about my past when it came to me having children. So she just didn't really understand. And I was like, well, the thing is the fact of the matter is that I haven't been to an OB yet and I don't know what's going on. And I just kind of want to wait because every time I've been pregnant before now, I have had a miscarriage and I just feel like it's really weird for everyone involved if I announce that I'm pregnant and then one day I'm not pregnant and they have to come to me and say, how's the baby? How are you and the baby? Because this is the South and that's what everybody does around here. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, there is no baby. And that feeling sucks. And because they get all in your business too. Like there's no boundaries here. Like they'll be like, well, you can always adopt or you can always do this. And I was like, or you can mind your fucking business.
I hate that. I hate it.
Did I ask you? Like, it was just the weirdest encounters for me. And I'm already very personal, you know, like I don't even give off the vibe that I want to talk to you about this. So can we just not, it's just like, it is complete nervousness. I think like, they don't care if I adopt a kid. They don't care what I do. They don't even care that I had this miscarriage. Like they just don't know what else to say at this point. So we got over that part. Well, the whole time I was pregnant, I just knew I was going to have a miscarriage. And when I say the whole time I was pregnant, I mean the entire time I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. My anxiety, I never really had anxiety like that I would call true anxiety until I was pregnant. Super paranoid, couldn't be home by myself. I was extremely unwell. So the one thing that I can say is that past traumas resurfaced for me tenfold. Mm-hmm. I was raped back when I was 20 years old. I ended up pregnant, but I was also sexually active with my boyfriend at the time. So there was no way for me to tell, if I was pregnant by the person who raped me or by my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Well, I ended up getting an abortion. Well, you know that I was hyper religious, right? Like, so right. This brings on like a whole new level of guilt that I was not prepared for. I remember having a conversation with my friend and I was like, you know, I'm going to have an abortion because I feel like that's what's right for me. Like I was very, very early. I like had took the pill and I was like, I can't have this baby. I'm 20 years old. I'll be interviewing for jobs out of college and I'll be pregnant. Nobody's going to hire me. I don't know who the dad is. And it's just like, I don't know who the dad is. So at the time, the guy that I was, I'll say my partner, I don't know if I called him my boyfriend or not, but my partner, was Black American. The guy who raped me was white. So what the fuck am I going to do? Like, I mean, it's like, so let's say that me and my partner stay together and here I am with this white baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
How fucked up am I going to be from that? You know what I mean? And it's like, I did not anticipate it to be that, like for that to be my life. Well, my mom is as pro-life as they come, not hypocritical pro-life. I've got respect for her. She believes what she believes and she is not hypocritical in it at all. We do not agree on the same things, but she stands by, you know, her belief and I have respect for that. Well, because that is her belief, we did not have birth control. We didn't do anything like that. And her real true heart told her that if you are pregnant due to rape, that you should have the baby because God has a plan for that child. Fuck my life though, right? Like, like what about the plans for me? Like, but I just couldn't get past that. And I was really discouraged from that. And I had this conversation beforehand was that I am going to pay for this one day. I'm going to pay for this over and over and over again. And I know that because I know that that's what is going to happen because that's going to be God's way of punishing me. Right.
Mm-hmm.
In that same day, I made my mind up that I will adopt. Like that's going to be my answer is I'm going to adopt. So I would cling to these adoption stories, right? Like, you know, I was trying to adopt children before, because to me, that was my way of doing something good for the something bad that I thought I did, but really wasn't bad. So this is where that whole thing about my religious trauma and like me really flipping the script came in was because then after I had Everly or when I was pregnant with Everly, I could not function at home by myself when it was dark out because I was so convinced that someone was going to break into this house and rape me. Could not be here by myself. I would work like 8-hour shifts instead of 12s, which meant that I would get off work before Marcus did and I wouldn't leave or I would switch with someone because I couldn't come home. And I was like, this is going to fuck me up. I can already tell.
About going to talk to someone about these?
I couldn't talk about it. Like it was just so, I was so not okay. I was like, if I can't get this baby out of me alive, like I'm probably not going to live to tell about it. Like it really had me. And see, the thing was, is that I went to therapy after I was raped. And I was fine. Like I thought that I was okay. And then it just like started out of nowhere, like completely no warning, none whatsoever. Just this irrational fear that I had that was kind of rational. But in that moment, the way that it transpired was completely irrational. But it all came back to me expecting her to die because all of my other babies did. And then just the feeling of being pregnant for that long, I think like made me think that maybe this would have been, I could have had this years ago in a healthier way. You know what I mean? Like it was just really weird for me.
Now did Marcus try to convince you to talk to someone?
He did, but I wasn't very open about everything that was going on. Yeah. I'm in therapy, y'all. Okay.
Just shook.
Because it was so weird to me. Like, I've been okay about it. Like, why is this happening? I was like, it's just pregnancy hormones. But I would have a hard time sometimes to be like, I can't. Am I going to be okay? Like, I would say that to him a lot. Am I going to be okay? Am I going to be okay? And he's like, you're going to be fine. He thought that I was just worried that she was going to die or that I was going to have a miscarriage. Like he knew that I've struggled before, but he didn't know like all of this, like how it all intertwined, because again, where he grew up, religion wasn't a thing. So he doesn't understand that guilt that came along with it. You know,
mm-hmm.
My ex-husband and me split up when I had my last miscarriage, and he told me that I deserved it and he hopes all my babies die. That really fucked with me. So that was after we got divorced after that.
Yeah. What a fucking piece of garbage. Oh yeah.
He was horrible. So anyway, I had Everly and I went into labor a month early. I was in denial that I was, that my water broke. I was like, oh, I'm just peeing on myself. Right. Like,
this does not shock me either at all. I promise you, had I known you then, I'd have been like,
so I tell Marcus, right, I was like, hey, I think my water broke. And he was like, no, it didn't. And I was like, yeah, you're right, I'm just peeing on myself. So anyway, we both go to work that night. We were working at the same hospital, and like, what's the worst that could happen, right? Like, I go into full-on labor.
I mean, you're already at the hospital, so that's good.
But I was at one of our small campuses. Like, I would have had to have been transported to the other. So, but like, it was really weird because it wasn't like what I thought of. Again, lack of education on this process from our OBs. Like, they don't tell you what it's like when your water breaks.
Right.
Because I kept telling him, I was like, I'm not going to make it 40 weeks. I'm not going to make it 40 weeks. I kept telling him this. He wouldn't believe me because he had no reason to. My pregnancy was going well. Like, he didn't know that I was going crazy. Mm-hmm. He didn't know anything else. He just knew that my vitals looked good. My baby looked good. Everything was good. So I thought I was peeing on myself. I had an OB appointment in the morning. I'm going to make it there. Mm. Well, I started having contractions at work and I was like fucking sweating, upper lip sweating, eyebrows sweating. And I was like, I'm not okay. Like, and so then it's like, every woman, this is it right here. I think I just got to poop. So I was like, I think I'm just constipated, y'all. Like, I'll be fine. It's fine, right? I'm fine. We're fine. I just need to poop. So I go to the OB's office and he didn't even believe me. He did the test, like the strip test.
Oh yeah.
I did it at work and it showed up like a little bit positive, but not really. And I'm like, I don't feel like this is like it's not lighting up that this is completely not pee. And he said the same thing though. He said the same thing. So I really thought I had to poop. So he sends me to the hospital and it's not my, we had a private, like he privates us. Like if you want to be privated, you can, which means he'll follow you throughout your entire appointment. And then he's the one who delivers your baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I was already stressed about that because I didn't want anyone else. And he's my private OB, right? Like, but I'm not paying extra for this person. So what is making it so that you know that you got to show up for me? I feel like you're just telling me that. Mm-hmm. And then at the last minute, you're going to be like, oh, I can't come in because of whatever the fuck reason. So his friend is there. And he was like, so you're in labor. And I was like, yeah, I figured that because, I figured like, I know that now. I gained 13 pounds over 3 days. I was huge. Okay. My lips, like they were folded, like flipped backwards. I was not well. I don't know what the fuck was going on. Y'all, my husband's a doctor. If I'm in denial and I can't see it, how can he not be like, Kaylin, you're looking real fluffy.
Why the hell would he say that to you? Because that's insanity.
My nose was 3 times as wide and my lips were so tight that I could not smile. Okay. And I kept saying that my knees hurt, like the skin on my knees was so tight from fluid that it felt like if I bent my leg, it was going to like rip the skin.
Mm. So, did your vagina hurt too?
Not really.
Oh my God. Mine hurt so bad in the last month. So bad. There's so much pressure.
I didn't make it to that last month.
Oh yeah, that's true. It's awful.
Thank God. Like, thank God, because the way y'all talk about that shit ain't nothing I want anything to do with.
It's really, really, really uncomfortable. It just feels so sensitive. Your vagina feels so sensitive and thick.
Mm.
Yeah. And like, just getting up, sitting down, all of it is just like, you don't want to move. And I was working still too. So I was like, mm-hmm. and part of my job was getting in and out of a car all the time. It was fucking rough, but sorry, continue.
No, I didn't have any of that though.
Mm-hmm. It's
I'm
bad.
Trying to think. I don't think my vagina parts were feeling fine, actually.
Yeah. It's the last month for me. The last couple of weeks, I feel it was really hard. I just wanted to ice my vagina the whole time.
You should have. Did you? Don't lie.
I didn't. But I ate ice a lot.
Were you anemic?
No, not that I'm aware of. But I just wanted ice all the time.
I wonder if you were because of her needing a platelet transfusion.
Oh, maybe.
I wonder if there was something going on there that we don't know about.
I don't know. To this day, I haven't really read all of the birth records.
I don't know that I have either. I haven't because I didn't want to go like the way our stuff is you have to go through the main office to get it and stuff. Mm. And I just didn't want to see their bullshit, especially after I got their bill. I really didn't want to read their bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can access it all in my chart now. All my stuff.
Yeah. Well, that was before they made it so now it is a federal law that they have to release all of their notes that all the doctors put in. But that wasn't the thing back when I had her. So all of her new stuff is in there like that. But all of like her records from her being born and stuff and like what they had going on behind the scenes, I don't know anything about. I don't really want to because I have to work with these people.
Yeah, I can't. It's too traumatic for me.
Well, when we had her, they plopped her on my chest. Like my birth story was me actually giving birth was not bad at all. Mm-hmm. I will birth y'all's baby. Listen, I will birth every one of y'all's children for you if you could just carry one for me because I can't do that again. Like, were you sick? I was so sick. Like, it was just a miserable time. Like, literally the most miserable time ever.
I definitely had some nausea.
Hold on.
What?
You had some nausea.
Yeah. I had aversions. I had food aversions and smells. Smells by God.
I puked so hard. I shit myself 3 times. Okay. Not 3 times in one day. 3 different days. I puked so hard that I pooped myself. And you're like, some nausea.
I did. There was one time I was brushing my teeth and I threw up and then I pissed myself.
And yeah, I'm like, right, you deserve it.
Yeah. Brushing my teeth was really hard. I had to switch to kids' toothpaste.
Brushing my teeth to this day is hard. I'm like, huh! And you know, oh God.
God, Felicity's daddy used to do that. It would drive me crazy. Yeah, but I had to. So that's a good trick for you moms out there. Or you pregnant moms, is if the toothpaste is like, it's too hard for you, switch to kids' toothpaste. I mean, it doesn't feel as clean as like regular toothpaste, but you're still getting the job done. It doesn't make you gag like that.
I have no advice because nothing worked for me. I threw up until I was 30 weeks, like every single day. I mean, it was awful. It was so bad.
I don't remember my pregnancy being that bad.
I was miserable.
In the beginning, there was the morning sickness. And then towards end is when I was just, my whole body was just
tired.
Yes. Exhausted and hurt and in the vagina thing. But I mean, like I said, my pregnancy was actually pretty decent.
Whatever.
And I was one of those moms like missed her in my tummy.
Oh, fuck that. No. Mm-hmm. So like I was saying was I will birth all of you. I will push a baby out. C-sections, whatever you need, because pregnancy for me was so, I had a lot of cardiac stuff too. Like I kept going into SVT and like almost passing out. I mean, it was just not a good time for me, but I can't say that I had like a rough birthing experience. I got my epidural. Everything went up like 20 minutes, maybe. We had her and it was just as we suspected with a late preterm that she was going to be like hypoglycemic and difficult to feed. Her sleeping ass is what she wanted to do. She cried and everything was good. Marcus saw her neck I did not see it. I didn't see it, but he saw it, but nobody acted weird or anything like that. They just left. Everything was fine. But she was very difficult to feed. We had to do glucose checks and everything. It wasn't until the following day. Was it the next day or the day after? We were there for a few days. When they came in to tell me that they thought that she may have Down syndrome, but they weren't sure, and that they were going to run the test and everything. And I was like, okay, that's fine. You know, me and Marcus already talked about it, because we were looking her over once we were in our room and everything, because he saw her neck and he was like, does she look like she has Down syndrome to you? And I was like, I don't know. But while we were getting earlier on in the pregnancy, I didn't want any testing done. We agreed not to do that. And I was 30, I was 29 when I was pregnant with her. It wasn't out of the question for us. We actually had a conversation about if she did have Down syndrome. I can't say that it was like, oh yay, she has Down syndrome, but it did not crush my world. It was like a cold shower for me is what it felt like. It wasn't her diagnosis really that bothered me or anything like that. It was the unknown heart condition, possible pulmonary hypertension, like all of these things that kind of come along with it. Like if you would have been able to see my brain, you would have thought that they told me that they were getting ready to have to do open heart surgery on my child, because that's all that I heard. That's all that I could process was that part. But that comes from me having a childhood best friend who has Down syndrome and me not being scared of it.
Right. Exactly.
Thank God.
Inclusion at its finest.
Yes. Thank you, Cody. I love you. His birthday was a couple days ago, actually.
Happy birthday, Cody.
So after we got her home and got settled and everything, they kept taking her out of the room from me, and it was really fucking with me. My anxiety was out of control. I was like starting to see things, but I wasn't really sure. Like I kept thinking that the water was running in our room. I kept seeing the water run out of the faucet, and I kept putting my hand under it to because I was like going to turn the knob off and it was already off. And so I would like put my hand under it to be like, what the fuck? Like, where's the water?
Wow.
Yeah. Because I had been up the whole time, because I was working night shift at the time. And so then I went right into the OB's office that morning when I got off. And then I was in labor all day, had her that night, and I didn't sleep worth crap the first night. So I was up for over 48 hours. And I was just exhausted, and I was like starting to see things, but they didn't check on me. Like they didn't care about me, but they kept taking her out of the room, and I was like pacing around and not okay. This is when my vagina was hurting, by the way. Are you sure you weren't confused?
No, I remember.
I believe you. I've heard
it. Were you really? Okay. Here's another thing that has nothing to do with whatever, but so I was really, really hot my entire pregnancy.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay. I had this house on frozen. Yes. Okay.
But as soon as I had her,
cold as shit.
Yes, I was freezing. I was like, why is it so damn cold in here?
I remember, oh my God, I remember, I feel so bad about this now. And he still picks on me about it. I used to keep the air down to 67, the air conditioner year round, because I had her in November, right? So, I mean, it was getting cold, 67 degrees, just blasting the air.
Yeah.
And his ass, and I have a separate window type. It's not a window unit, but it has like an air conditioner situation.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have that 60. The bitch froze. Okay. It froze up in the fall, winter, whatever that season is. I don't know. It's North Carolina. We have all seasons in like the same week. And so he was shivering under the covers, Elise. And he was like legit cold. It had on a hoodie, sweatpants, and like wrapped up, and he was like shivering. And I was like, what's wrong with you? And he was like, I feel like this is the winter in East Germany when I was like four. And it was the roughest winter we ever had. And so now I keep the air on 72. And I'm still cold half the time. And he was like, can you believe how you used to freeze me out? I'm so sorry, but my ass was hot. I was so big.
I was very hot too. And I keep mine at 73. here now and I get cold, it's because I don't have a thyroid too. Mm-hmm. So I am very sensitive to cold.
Why
and
do
I
you
can't
keep an eye on you, a closer eye on you though, knowing that you don't have a thyroid and knowing how that can impact any of like depression and like, why didn't they like monitor you closely other than just being like, oh,
well, and what's interesting to me too, is that they called the social worker 3 times at the hospital on me.
Right. Yeah. I remember you telling me that.
This 3 times. So it's like, y'all didn't think that there was something going on here, but that's why I think medical professionals need to be educated more. And mm-hmm. that just shows how ableist they are, because they immediately are like, it's the diagnosis. Of course she's sad. Of course she's
right.
Sad. But I'm telling you right now, of course I had my grief, whatever, because I was ignorant. But I don't think it would have been that severe.
Right.
I just don't, like, knowing myself now mm-hmm. and looking back, I was in a very, very, very dark place. And you call them 3 times, you call her 3 times. And she looked at me and she's like, the social worker just had no fucking idea what to say to me, and said her friend has a son who has Down syndrome. He's a teenager. He just went to the movies with his friends. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And she's like, yeah, they signed up to be his buddy at school. And I looked at her and I was like, I don't want anybody have to sign up to be my baby's friend.
And they're signing up to be her friends now, because she's got a waiting list to be his friend.
But, you know, like, she just didn't know how to help me.
Right. What do you say? What? Okay. So what would have helped you?
If someone had told me they were wrong and she didn't have Down syndrome.
Really? I could see it, yeah.
So, you know, what would have helped me though the most is if someone said to me, it's normal to have these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so ashamed and I didn't know what to do. And, I didn't know who to talk to. And the woman that came and talked to me from the DSA, she pissed me off because she came to the NICU instead of just my hospital room.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want that. If this makes sense, I didn't want someone from the Down Syndrome Association around my baby and I,
mm-hmm.
you know, cause she, like you said, whenever I held Felicity, I just felt better. I felt right. like, okay, I'm a mom and this is my baby.
Right.
So I automatically did not like her, and she sucked at talking to me, sucked. And I was like, I don't even understand what, I don't know. It was a terrible experience. And I don't feel bad saying that, because it turns out she stole from the Down Syndrome Association. So,
oh damn, that was her.
Yeah, that was her. Her and her husband.
Girl, but, I saw that article.
Yeah. So yeah, but nobody, that's how ableist like our medical professionals are, because they saw someone who was going through it hard,
mm-hmm.
and they were just like, it's just Down syndrome.
Blaming our children.
Yeah. But it wasn't, I didn't have any attachment issues with her. I loved her to death. Yeah. I thought about killing myself.
That's what I always say, right? Exactly what you just said, is that, you know, people can blame all of these hard feelings on a diagnosis or whatever. But I can tell you right now that if Everly didn't have Down syndrome and I didn't have, because she was 2 weeks old when I found out that when we got the results back that she had Down syndrome. And I didn't cry. My pediatrician kept apologizing to me and told me, she was like, it just kind of stinks. And me and her have beef to this day. But she's a good doctor and she takes care of my daughter. And her dad was actually my pediatrician. Oh. So, I mean, Everly loves her though. Like, mm-hmm. and it's just like, it's a personality conflict with me and her. She doesn't, you know, lower her expectations for Everly. It is what it is. That's her perception of it. And I was like, I'm going to show her. We're going to show her. You going to show her. We're going to keep it together and it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And it has been fine with her, but her just telling me that it kind of stinks. I was like, so really, Like, you really think that this sucks for me? Because what really sucked for me was finding out 4 other times before now that I wasn't going to have a baby when I thought I was going to have a baby. Mm. That was my moment of grief. Those were my moments of, you know, when it really sucked for me.
Right.
I know what it feels like to lose a baby, like to lose that hope, really, because they were never further along than 16 weeks or anything like that. But I know what it's like to lose that hope. And then on top of that, like for someone to violate your body like that, and to violate just your womb is what it felt like to me. Mm-hmm. I think that the reason why I would cling to adoption was because I never wanted to be pregnant again. Like, I wanted to be a mom, but I did not want to be ever again in that same body and exist in that way that I did in that moment. Mm-hmm. And it showed up again when I was pregnant with Everly, and it just spiraled out of control after that. And, so after I had her and actually brought her home, I would like hold her and she would just make everything okay. And I told my friend, I was like, you know, I don't know if there's any other person that would say this, but I wish everyone went through this, because this was like during the waiting period for her, of us waiting for her results. And, I was like, you know, these 2.5 weeks where we're waiting for her results to come back, waiting to know if she's at a higher risk for all of these health issues, waiting to find out if we're going to have open heart surgery, all of these things. And I was just like, you know, I have really loved on my baby for the first time ever. And I was like, you know, I wish everyone could experience this kind of love, because I don't know that I would have felt that way going through postpartum depression the way that I did if she didn't have her diagnosis, or if we didn't have that waiting time in between her test and us finding out that there were concerns or anything like that. Like, I felt, when I say that I felt like she made it better, she did. And that was where our bond started with us, was like that. Like, it wasn't the typical, like, as soon as she laid on my chest, I kept waiting, because Marcus would always tell me, he's like, as soon as she's born, you're going to love her. And I remember her on my chest with all her baby cheese on her. And I was like, she's so pretty. She's so pretty. And I love her. And then I remember thinking in my head, like, do I really love her? And I remember thinking, and before they took her away from me to go look her over, I thought, if she were to die right now, would I cry? That's how fucked up I was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I told you before that, like, I knew that she wasn't coming home from the hospital with us. I didn't even bring her outfit that I had bought her. I left it in her crib, because I was like, she's not coming. Like, I was so convinced that she was going to die. And it's like, you have all of these emotions. Then when you throw in any kind of potential complexity, like, people can say it's grief. People can say you're wrong for going through those feelings. People can say you know, everyone feels this way or whatever, but everyone experiences that time totally different. But what they don't realize is that lays the groundwork for a whole different shit show that's about to start in your fourth trimester, the day you get home. Have you seen where people talk about, like, postpartum psychosis is like it is like this big influx of hormones, and it can happen as, like, soon as immediately after you give birth. Have you heard about this before? And, like, yeah, they completely lose their mind. Like, moments after they give birth, like, mm-hmm. there was this lady that, a friend of mine was telling me about. She was like, it was one of my coworkers, and this is when I was still pregnant. And she said that her water broke, and it was like 2 hours later, and she was holding people hostage in the room. Wouldn't let them leave.
Oh, man.
Completely. Like, and so I ended up with the psychosis part, but it was more for, like, from sleep deprivation, where I would like see her dead in her bassinet. Like, I couldn't shower, but I stayed up for days because I had this this thought that she was going to die because of me having an abortion. And me thinking that all my babies were going to die after that. Like, it's just so, everything for me was very parallel, but also very, very extreme. Yeah. I'm still not right. Mm-hmm. But right. I talked to, like, postpartum care and, like, your mental health became, like, a really big passion of mine, because I had such a really hard time with it. And especially for people who have struggled with anything in their like mental health wise, or if they have a history of depression or anxiety, I think that we kind of, or any kind of trauma also, dissociation is really big for us, and we just kind of disconnect and unplug. It doesn't mean that you don't love your baby. It doesn't mean that you hate everybody. It just means that you're really good at hiding this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like you said, like they called the social worker on you 3 times. You knew you were not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And just feeling like you're not okay isn't wrong.
Right.
Like we need medication sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I was so wrapped up in all of it. I was so wrapped up.
But did you have anxiety or anything like that?
Just
the depression?
I feel like it was just depression.
But just if you're like, I don't want to be here anymore.
It was because, I mean, I had normal, I think, anxiety of like, how's her life going to be when she's older and stuff right. like that. But it was depression. It was feeling like I couldn't make a healthy baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, of course I'm not worthy to have a baby like everybody else. And, looking back at myself right now, it was really bad. I really needed help. In the end, talk to someone. It's okay. There's so many of us that have been there. If you need any, resources, please, just contact us through Instagram or our website, www.loveherleaveherwild.com. And, yeah, thanks for going along with us on our postpartum journeys, and we're here for you, and we actually really do care. So
let us even know if I'm not warm and fuzzy, I know I don't give the vibe off that like I'm coming in with open arms to friendships, but I'll love on you a little bit.
Yeah. Same. And we can give you resources, and let you know that you aren't alone. So we are sponsored by my forthcoming book, Love Her, Leave Her Wild. We're sponsored by Dear Mom, is a nonprofit organization supporting mothers of children with Down syndrome. And we're sponsored by Ruby's Rainbow. Go check them out Yay. On Instagram and Facebook, because they're amazing. Absolutely amazing. And they're always looking for donations for those scholarships for people with Down syndrome. So love them, love them, love them. Love Ruby, love Liz, love her whole family. Amazing. So we will catch you next time. Thanks for being on this really serious, deep episode with us. So we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.